be compensated in dollars rather than a personal satisfaction and unconditional love, she'd rake in a nifty sum of nearly $117,000 a year. Yeah, some of y'all are like, let's go. The survey calculated a mom's market value by studying the pay levels for 10 job titles with duties a typical mom performs, ranging from taxi driver, housekeeper, daycare center teacher, psychologist, and chief executive officer. A working mom who also juggles an outside job would get an additional $68,000 for her motherly duties. One stay-at-home mom said the figure, the six-figure salary, sounds a little low. I think a lot of people think we sit at home and have fun and don't do a lot of work. Samantha Russell from New Hampshire said, but they could try to clean their house with little kids running around and messing it up right after them. The biggest driver of a mom's theoretical salary is the amount of overtime pay she'd receive for working more than 40 hours a week. The 18,000 moms that were surveyed said their typical work week reported an average of 94 hours a week, meaning they spend more than half their week working overtime. Working moms reported an average of 54 hours in their mom work week, besides the hours they spent at a paying job. One mother agreed her job as a stay-at-home mom is more than full-time, but she said that her job, quote-unquote, brings intangible benefits she would not enjoy in the workplace. The rewards are not monetary, but it's the reward of knowing that they're safe and happy. It's worth it all. It's a great question, is it not? What is a godly mother worth? I think there ought to be a word from the Lord that tells us how much a godly mother is worth. And indeed, if you'll look in Proverbs 31, there is such a place that talks about this godly woman, and not just a godly woman, my friends, and a godly mother as well. They can be different, indeed. They're not necessarily together at all times. What are they worth? It's an amazing question with a more amazing answer from our Lord. I believe today that it's necessary for us to put an accurate biblical worth upon this position, this role, because I believe that motherhood as a whole has been downplayed and even at times laughed and scoffed at in our world today. It doesn't seem to hold the honor and the veneration that it once did. It seems to be something that people say to a woman who's given up her career to be a mother. What a horrible way of saying that. My friends, what a greater thing that she can do. There is probably no greater thing that she can do than invest her lives in the lives of her children. If she has no children, my friends, and some of you ladies in this room today have never had children, I want you to know I can stack you deep with kids that need a mama. Amen? And I want you to know today that this church needs ladies like you to stand up and be this super mom. This picture on the screen, I thought, very appropriate, isn't it? The picture of a super mom is she can do all things at all times in every way. But indeed, our world has a skewed version of that. God gives us a picture of godly wisdom and character. I want you to know as we read these verses together today, Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10 through 31, very familiar verses to most who've been in Christian circles very long at all, that the Hebrew of these verses is actually in a poetic form. Every verse begins with a new letter of the alphabet. I think that's really interesting that God would choose poetry to describe the poetic and beautiful role of a wife and a mother. Amen? Won't you stand with me as we read these verses together? Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and she holds and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father God, today, we thank you because you are the originator and the source of all godly character. And Father God, today we thank you, Lord, that you have infused that into the lives of these ladies we call mothers. I pray, Father, for you to speak to us today about what it means to be wise and to look for wisdom in this incredible role called being a wife and a mother. And I pray today, Father, you will bless those mothers here today. Encourage and strengthen them in every way. Teach them, Lord, Father, how close you are to them. May they understand that you are the one who defends them. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen. I think it's important and necessary for us to cherish our mothers and those ladies in our lives that we call our wives, even if they are not a mother. We ought to cherish them, gentlemen, today. It's an honorable thing for you to do that. Indeed, it's something that you ought to do because of what they do in our lives and what they mean to us. And no doubt I want you to understand that if you are a lady here today, I am challenging you to be this kind of woman. I want you to know, ladies, that I believe that the standard I see before me is one that is incredibly rare, as the scriptures say here in this verse 10, and it's incredibly precious. And I believe that our society will indeed swing upon the hearts of ladies who decide to walk in godliness like this. Because I believe our society needs ladies like this in our world today to change the world in which we live in. Amen? And I want to challenge you, ladies, to live to this standard today. And guys, if your wife is doing this, if your mother of your children or your mom did, you make sure you cherish her today with all your heart. Because she indeed is what I call today is a super mom. Amen? A super mom indeed ought to be identifiable. And there are some characteristics in these passages of Scripture that, for me anyway, say something about a super mom and who she is and what she does. So first and foremost, in your outline, I want you to know that the super mom is scarce and she's very priceless. She's scarce and she's priceless. The question asked for us in verse 10, who can find her? The idea is simply this, that she's not found everywhere. It's simply saying that there's a rare thing that we're looking for, and it's going to take some effort to find this kind of lady. Verse 29, it says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. She rises above. She is rare because she's unique. She's at the top of the heap of what it is to be a mom and a wife. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So if she's hard to find, you and I need to know where to look and where not to look. I think it's important for us to know today, especially young men in this room who've yet to find this woman, where not to look. Amen? If you want to find an apple, let me suggest to you it's logical that you should go to an apple orchard. Amen? If you want to find an orange, then go to an orange orchard. But do not look for an apple in an orange orchard. Amen? And if you're looking for someone of godly character, my friends, let me suggest to you that you look for the heart of God, and there you'll find a woman who has God in her heart. Amen? So where not to look? First and foremost, all of Proverbs is a wisdom book, and there's already much wisdom being passed and is passed before we reach chapter 31. Some of that wisdom teaches us some things that we ought not to see in this woman, this super mom. First and foremost,
this supermom is not contentious. If she eats sarcasm from breakfast and controls everybody during her lunchtime, my friends, she's not a woman of godly character. The word contentious means always spoiling for a fight. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 24 says simply this: it's better to dwell on the corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman. Guys, if you're looking for a wife, don't go somewhere where you'll find ladies always fighting. Amen? Because, my friend, sooner or later, she will fight with you. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6 and 8 tells us that we are not to look for someone who's miserly. And ladies, that simply means this: do not be miserly with your love. Don't keep a tally on what you've given away in your life. My friends, I think modern femininity would tell us today, and be wrong about true motherhood today, that you ought to keep a tally of every time someone receives something from you or something that you give away. So when your kids ask for something, you keep a tally. And that little selfish meter inside of us starts to click in high gear. We start to notice every time we give our heart away. Mothers, let me admonish you. Do not be miserly with your love, but give it away freely. Amen? Because you know the God of love will fill your hearts back. Verse 27 in this passage teaches us that this lady does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. So I would suggest to you that if you find a lady who out there who says in her mind and her heart that she's entitled to all things and unwilling to do anything, my friends, walk away from that lady. And ladies here in this room today, you are not to be lazy. It says verse 30, that she is not to be a woman who is vain. The word vain means empty. And it says there, verse 30, if you'll look with me, charm is deceitful. It's not really true. It's got a false nature to it. And it says, and beauty is passing. It is vain. It's empty. Amen. Isn't that right, guys and ladies? Let's go ahead and get that out on the table here today. Yes, we know what we looked like when we were 18, but we're not 18 anymore. Amen. Y'all just nod your head like that real slow if you got the high idea of it. Beauty is passing. If the lady that you intend to marry's greatest achievement is to find herself scantily clad on a YouTube video, it's time for you to find someone else to date. Isn't that right, young men? I'll wait for a pause there for a second. Think about that. Character, my friends, is what you ought to be looking for, not vanity. She's not to be a gossip. Verse 26 says that she has the words of wisdom whenever she opens her mouth. That indeed means that she knows when to say something and when not to say something, and she knows what not to say in certain company. And my friend, she's not ever going to be a gossip. She's not selfish. This whole passage is clear that the lady of these verses, my friends, is very much concerned with other people. Have you noticed that? She's taking care of who? The answer is just about everybody. Y'all picked up on that after we read that passage? She's not a selfish woman. My friends and ladies in this room, do not be selfish. Guys, if you're looking for a lady like this, don't look where selfish people might hang out. She's not afraid, verse 21, for her household. That must mean she has faith and trust in the Lord. She's not immodest. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. I want you to write that scripture, pick it a reference down. Proverbs 11 and 22, and look it up when you get to the house. It says, as a gold ring in a pig's snout, so is a lovely woman, a beautiful woman who shows no modesty, no discretion. Now, have y'all got that picture clear in your head? Y'all ever seen about a 500 or 600 pound sow or boar wallowing in the mud? How many of y'all ever seen that happen? Can you imagine putting a gold ring in that pig's snout? What color will it be fairly shortly? Yeah. See, the idea is it doesn't fit, does it? It doesn't fit for a godly woman to be immodest. She ought to be someone who's modest. And guys, look for a lady who's doing that. She's not dependent upon others, but she strengthens herself here in these verses. I want you to know something. Does that mean that she's not dependent upon God? No, she is completely dependent upon the Lord, as we will see shortly in these verses. But indeed, she is not dependent upon others. She stands on her own strength and her own convictions. She's not an evil woman, an impure woman, verse 12. She doesn't do her husband evil. nor anybody else in her life. I want you to know something. These are characteristics you ought not see in a woman of godly character that a supermom will not possess. Amen? I got to tell you something, guys. If you're looking for someone like this, these are things you ought not to look for. Don't look for these kind of things. Look for the opposites. So you also all need to know where to look. Do you not? A man said once when he was looking for his wife, I looked for the most gorgeous girl I could find because I figured she can be godly later, but she can't make up being gorgeous later. But here in these passage, in this passage of Scripture, y'all think about that for a little while. It'll sink in later. In this passage of Scripture, God clearly says that godly character is more beautiful than physical appearance. Amen? You ought to look for that character, guys. Look for those characteristics that are virtuous. That's what it says, verse 10. And the word means strong. It means a woman of valor, of truth, who knows her own convictions and commands her life by those convictions. It says there, she is, for her worth is far above rubies. That means, I believe, if a stone has to be quarried out of the soil or out of the rock, so does a woman like this. You're going to have to search for her. And I believe, gentlemen, if you're looking for a woman like this, you search for her on your knees. You will do no better digging and searching for this rare and precious jewel called a wife or a mother than when you are on your knees before Almighty God. And if you're a wife and a mother here today, pray for your children that they would find a man, or a man would find a woman like this, your young son would, and that your daughters would be women like this. If it says here her worth is far above rubies, perhaps we could say that means that she's worth a diamond. Do y'all agree with that, ladies? You know the statement, diamonds are a girl's what? I love the television commercial of K's. It says every kiss begins with K. Yeah, if you shuck the diamonds, buddy, you're going to get a kiss. That's what that means, is it not? Is it trying to say here, by the way, that her worth is far above rubies, and that means she's worth diamonds, or are rubies the farthest of the far as worth goes? I believe he's saying here that rubies are of our precious and rare value, and this kind of woman who's strong in her convictions indeed is just that. She's scarce. She's priceless. This is a woman who has God in her heart, a woman who is close to the God of this word, and to the word of God himself. A husband ought to know the value of a woman like this and cherish her, not take it for granted. And ladies here in this room today, you be this kind of woman. Some of you are single moms and you are holding down the weight of two jobs, and God bless you and strengthen you as you do so, because you're holding down more weight than most ladies do in this room. Ladies in this room have never had children, and God bless you as well. For indeed, there are a multitude of children that need a godly wife like this and a godly mother in their lives, and they don't have to be biologically related to you to be their mama. Amen? Our youth group, our children need this kind of woman. What if you're not a mother today? Can you be this kind of super mom? Yes, because this passage of Scripture is very clearly all about character. And this character is found in none other than a relationship with Almighty God. Somebody has said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a learner's permit. Somebody said, if you're a good mother, your child will turn out good. Somebody thinks a child comes with directions and a guarantee. Somebody said, good mothers never raise their voices. Somebody never came out the back door just in time to see her child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. Somebody said, you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody said, you can't love the second child as much as you love the first, or the 10th or the 15th child as much as you love the first. Somebody does not have 10 or 15 kids. Somebody said her mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up his nose or in his ears. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten or on a plane headed to military boot camp. Somebody said her mother can do her job with her eyes closed and one arm tied behind her back. Somebody never organized 7 giggling brownies to sell cookies. Somebody said her mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or a new daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. And lastly, somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody must not have a mother. You go tell your mother today if she's precious to you. And if she's not here on this earth, you just thank the God above that you had a gift like that. The supermom is scarce and priceless. No doubt that's one of the characteristics that I see. She's also, my friend, strong and praiseworthy. Her children should rise up, my friends, and praise her. Her own works, those things she does herself, ought to praise her in the gates of the city, is the implication of verse 31. That she should be known all throughout the land because of who she is and what she does. This strong, impressive lady implies here in this passage of Scripture that she is active. In fact, there are 23 action verbs applied to this woman in this passage. She is a strong woman. She is someone who is not necessarily dominating everybody else, but she indeed excels because of her character, the beauty of this world's design. She is one who is the strength of a home and the strength of a husband. In fact, it says here twice that a man is blessed. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her husband's heart safely trusts in her. May it can be said that our society could be crumbling because godly women like this do not exist in the strength of numbers that they once did. It could be that a home as a whole could not stay together if it wasn't for the strength of a woman who keeps herself active to build up her family. In this passage of Scripture, it is clear that her influence, her strong influence, is not just limited to the four walls she calls a home. It goes beyond it into the city. And even from afar, it says, she buys and sells, and she is active in the world as a whole, and her husband does not restrict her, but he praises her for it. Because her strength indeed ought to be praised. Her own work should praise her in the gates. Her husband is known, it says, by her strength. He is known because she is a mighty woman. Indeed, I would say, if you desire to be in ministry and you are married, you will not be in ministry and married if your wife is not one of these kind of strong women. And if you're not married today and seeking ministry, my friends, then you ought to look for a woman like this to go with you, because you're going to need some help. Amen? Say, no, I'm going to be single and in ministry. Well, God bless you for that. You hold on to God and God alone in the midst of that. Because a strong woman like this, my friends, could bless your life in powerful ways. And yet, it seems to be the reverse trend is true. People wait longer and longer and longer to get married because they do not venerate and trust and honor the institution of marriage, because they don't trust and believe in the character of that lady that they're going out with. I tell young men when they reach the age when they're independent of their parents, they've just finished college perhaps, maybe, they're out on their own and working, and they might be dating a young girl. I say, do not wait long, sir. Do not wait long. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I heard a young man say that he was going to get his house, going to go buy his house first, and he's going to get his career in order first, and then he'll marry his wife. And I'm thinking, you're nuts, man. What are you waiting for? The idea is that somehow those things are more important than a godly woman like this being in his life. Are you following that logic? My friends, that is pervasive in our society today. I would advise him, sir, do not be with her long without asking her to marry you. And if she's not the right woman, then go on about your business. That's not the God, the woman God has for you, then move on. But if she is, then ask her and get married. Amen? Is that all right, ladies? Am I okay there? Am I close? That's wrong. I a youth minister in Duncan, he's graduating from college. His wife, or actually at that time girlfriend, was near to that as well. And he was very, very concerned because every time he got near her, he became consumed with his love for her. He said, "Brother Mike, I just can't contain myself. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't think straight." And I said, "Yeah, okay, what's the problem? You're in love." He said, "What should I do? I think that maybe we're going too fast, and I think maybe that perhaps that I need to slow down." I said, "Son, how old are you?" And he said, "I'm 23. I said, "How old is she?" She said, "She's 22. I said, "Are you guys both independent and on your own?" "Yes, we both make our own way and pay for our own school." I said, "So what prohibits you today from being married to her?" And he thought for a long time. He said, "You know, I don't know what it is." And I said, "Maybe God wants you to get married to her." And he said, "You, I already know that. God's already told me." Then I said, "What are you waiting for?" 6 months later, I did their wedding. That's the right thing to do, amen? If she's priceless like this, guys, and you find that lady, then marry her. Pray for women like this because she's strong. And our society is built on this kind of strength. Last thing you want to see in your outline today is this supermom is the most importantly of all the characteristics of her. She's saved and beautiful. I'm not talking about the airbrushed, perfectionistic, vain outward beauty that our world tries to portray. I'm talking about real beauty. I'm talking about the beauty of character that gets better with time. I'm talking about beauty, my friends, that gets deeper. But you don't really realize it when you get married, that God provided for you a helpmeet gentleman, a need you had in your life was met in her. And what the amazing thing is for me is absolutely true. There were needs in my life that I did not even know I needed. But God already provided for that in my wife well before I ever knew I needed it. That's character, and it must last. It is deep, and it has penetrating results in the home and in the family. Where can this be found? Some of y'all have been waiting for me to get to the message of salvation. I want you to know I'm there now. Amen? Where is a woman like this created? How can she come to be? Verse 30 is the answer for you. But a woman who fears the Lord. It does not mean phobia fear, like lady might be afraid of spiders or mice or snakes. That's not the idea of fear here. It means reverential trust, a deep abiding respect for God. How does that happen? Let me suggest to you as a statement that I do not believe that any woman who does not have a relationship with the Lord can be in this proper relationship of trust. She should fear the Lord in judgment. She should fear the Lord in judgment, not fear the Lord in trust, not honor Him. I believe that when a woman is realizing, and anybody who realizes that they are in underneath the wrath of God, there is a judgment type of fear that comes upon them. But at that moment in time, God speaks to their heart and says, "Do not be afraid, for I am the one who paid the price for your sins. I am the one who paid the price so that I could be joined again to mankind through my Son's work on the cross." A woman who fears the Lord is a woman who trusts in God with all her heart. She's given her life to Him and to Him alone. Above all, she loves the Lord. Not her children, not her husband, but the Lord comes first in her life. That's the idea of fears the Lord here in this passage. She has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son, and she believes that He is inside of her life and empowering her and creating her to be the kind of person God wanted her to be. Perhaps you read this passage of Scripture, ladies, today, and you're slightly discouraged. I don't know if that happened to any of you ladies today. I thought, wow, that's a high standard. I thought maybe some of you ladies in this room today might say, "I don't know if I can live up to that." You thought, "I don't live up to it, perhaps. I've failed here and here and here." Maybe you pointed to some specific spots, maybe where you thought you had failed. And you might be concerned that I had given you another to-do list. Ladies seem to be, and my wife in general has a to-do list. And buddy, you had better not mess with the to-do list in our house. Amen? It's a plan, and that plan must be carried out. And maybe you feel like you've been burdened by this. But I want you to hear the right perspective of these verses. Ladies, this is not doing something. This is about being someone. When you are someone who has a relationship with God, He is going to create in you the character traits that you find in these verses. God will, if you will allow Him, begin to work in your heart a depth of character that only His Son has. And He will transform you into the image of Him and Him alone. And as you do so, dear lady, these things that are here will become a part of your life. And they will come out of your life as a testimony to the love of God that's in your life. That's what the most important part of this whole passage is, the source of where this character would come from. It comes from a relationship with the Lord, who fears the Lord, a lady who trusts in Him. I want to encourage you today, dear lady in this place, if you have not, or if you do not have a relationship with God Almighty, today is the day for you to trust Him as Savior and Lord. If you want a godly home, if you want a home that's like this one, a home of beauty and activity, a husband trusting in the wife and the wife and her husband and the children being influenced in a godly way for eternity's sake, if you want a home like that, then let it be starting with you. You surrender your heart to God Almighty. You let Him do His work in you, because I want you to know something. When you got married to that guy you're married to, you stopped being able to change him. Amen? I tell young couples that when I am in counseling with them, the first thing I tell them, the person sitting next to you, you cannot change. And they don't like that. Y'all, anybody who likes that? No, I can change my wife. I can change my husband. No, if you change them, by the way, you've manipulated them. But only God can change somebody. You see the difference? You might be able to brainwash them, but that's not what you need and what you want anyway. You want something inner to happen inside them that makes them different. That's the idea of change. Change only happens to God and a relationship with Him. And the only one you can change in this world today, the only family you can save, is your own. Dear lady, the only one is your own. And it starts with you surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ. It starts with you putting your life in His hands. Said, Brother Mike, what happens after that? What happens after that is you begin to influence others through your prayer life and the quietness of this kind of character in your life. You influence them to trust Christ as well. And God does all the changing. Amen? I would love to do a survey of how many men possibly in this room were brought to Christ because of the prayers of their wife. I would love to hear that testimony and that statistic. Because bottom line is, I think the number is very high. Even beyond that, dear lady, you need to be saved. You need Jesus in your heart today. That's what will make you beautiful in eternity to come. Cherish this lady, guys. If you don't have one of these ladies in your life, you pray for one of these ladies to come into your life. If there is one in your life, then you make sure she's honored today in your daily walk with her. You pray for your daughters, guys, that they be women like this. Pray for your sons that they find women like this. You pray for moms and dads to stay put and to stay pure in a marriage. You pray for young moms who are struggling today, and women in this place who are not mothers. You pray for moms who've lost babies, moms who've lost their mothers or their husbands or their children, because our society swings upon the heart of God inside the heart of a family. And apparently from this passage of Scripture, the heart of the family is the wife. It's amazing. She takes care of her home. Our time of invitation is simple today, and it's very clear. Gentlemen, first of all, to you I appeal. Guys, if you have a lady like this in your life and you have possibly been taking her for granted, I want you to know something. It is time for you to repent of such an action. It's time for you. That's the Lord calling. Y'all go ahead and answer that, okay? We invited Him here today, and guess what? He just showed up. Did y'all hear that? He tried to get my cell phone, but it's on vibrate, so therefore he called somebody else. gentlemen, you rise up and call her blessed. Maybe you need to rise up and get to an altar and thank the Lord God above for a woman like this in your life. Ladies, to you I appeal, who are believers today, ladies. Maybe you don't feel like you can measure up to this standard. Let me ask you to do something simple today. Not try to go home with another to-do list, but come to an altar and surrender your heart to Him right now. That's how you will attain to this kind of character, and no other way. You are going to have to submit your life to the power of the Spirit of God to create in you the character that you've just read about in these verses. And I want to call upon you, Christian lady, to do that today, possibly at an altar or with one of us. To men and ladies in this room, if you're not a believer, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time under heaven. My friends, today is the day for you to be saved and trust Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Today is the time. Not 3 weeks from now or 10 months from now. Today is that day. And God has spoken to your heart today, then you surrender to Him and trust Him as your Savior and your Lord. Maybe you're prayed up yourself, husband, and you feel like you need to stay where you are. And lady, you feel like you as a lady, Christian lady, are on the right track and you don't feel led by the Lord to come to the front. Let me leave you with another possible prayer request and need for you to come to an altar today. The need is for others in this room, for the young men and the young women in this room who are not married. Perhaps they're not young and they're still not married. Maybe you ought to pray for them. Why don't you grab an altar as well and go there and ask the Lord to bless your family with this kind of character in the lives of your children, lives of your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grandchildren. What a noble thing would it be for you to do, to take that request before God Almighty today. Maybe it's just simply you need to come for yourself and trust Christ as Savior. Our counselors are here, myself, the other ministers. We're ready to receive you and pray with you and counsel you in whatever way we can to lead you and help you understand what it means to trust Christ and Him alone. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray and thank the Lord for all He said today. Lord God Almighty, for the Proverbs 31 woman, we are amazed at the incredible truth and the beauty of what's here. And I thank you, Father, for allowing us just a few moments to peek in to her life. And I pray, Lord, that you will develop these kind of women in this church. May the ministry of Lamar, Father, be filled with the testimony of little girls who become women like this. Father God, I pray for that. I pray for your blessings, Lord, as we do so. I pray for these families that are here today, for each mother in this place or future mother in this place. I pray for richest blessings, that you will watch over and protect them and surround them by your grace in every way. For each man in this room who's got a wife or a mother in his life like this, that you will bless him as well. For the people in this room who have not been married yet, Lord, and you're leading them down that track, Father, I pray you put people and a young woman or that a man would be gifted with a woman like this in their life as well. May they know it, see it, and follow through with it in faith when they do so. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving us more than anything else, God. Character starts with a new heart, a heart that trusts in Jesus alone. And I pray today that we'd see you saved today. It's in Christ's name that we pray it. Amen. Won't you stand with me? As we begin to sing, I want you to move out from where you are. Whatever God has said to you, you follow through with as the first note begins.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Let us pray. Father, how good it is to be in thy house this morning, Lord. We just thank you for our mothers and what they meant to our lives all these years. And Lord, we pray for each mother that's here today. We just pray that it be a great day for them. And thank you for this message that Brother Mike brought to her about us, about our wives and our mothers, and how they just pray for our country too, Lord. We pray for all the servicemen and women, wherever they might be. We pray that this would be a good day for them and they'd all be brought home safely. Now, Lord, we ask you to take this offering and bless the giver, and may it go for the furtherance of thy word. All these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.